still in the halachas of basher b'chalav, and do we get a chance on this to have a word from the commercial? Yeshiva Gedola Matisyahu could use your donations. Now back to this.
Use your
bucket. Okay. We're now going to discuss the Basar B'chalav D'Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan made gzeros to keep you away from, by accident, eating Basar B'chalav. Okay. And even though most of these things, the most you could do is transgress a rabbinic prohibition of eating Basar B'chalav together, not cooking them together, or eating a cooked Basar B'chalav. Normally we would say that it's a gzeira l'gzeira. It's a rabbinic enactment in order to protect you from a rabbinic enactment. It's not like that. These things were created to create a mindset where people would so much abhor the concept of milk and meat. It's like so set in your mind that milk and meat, cheese and salami, just like it's something you can't even imagine. So it keeps you very far away from ever cooking milk and meat together, or eating milk and meat cooked together. So it's not because I'm afraid if you'll do this, you're going to do this. That's true. But the greater picture is that if you keep up all of these harchakos and distant things, you're going to create a mindset where you'll never come to cook milk and meat or eat the product of cooked milk and meat, because it's going to be something that's really foreign to you. There are gzeiros like that, that are not, that like gzeiros on Shabbos, right? Don't handle matches, because if you handle matches, it's very easy to forget, and you'll light a fire. That's direct cause and effect. That's one kind of gzeira, the Rabbanan. There's another kind of gzeira. Don't mix, what's it called, a loose mixture on Shabbos, because people then will say, well, if you can do a loose mixture, you can do a thick mixture too, and that's prohibited. So therefore, they assert mixing a loose mixture in order that you shouldn't do a thick mixture. Okay, that, if you do the loose mixture all year, you're never going to come to do anything usher at that point. But you may learn from that to do something else at a different time. That's a different kind of gzeira. Then there's a third kind of gzeira. The third kind of gzeira is that you're not going to come from this action to do something wrong, right? And you won't think that because you could do this, you could do the other thing. But it creates a mindset. Where is that? Like not drinking Goyisha wine, okay? Can't go to the supermarket and buy Gallo wine because it's Stam Yenam, okay? You're not allowed to drink it. Why? The reason is that you shouldn't come to marry a non-Jewish woman, okay? Now, it's not that if you bring Gallo wine home, right, you're going to end up marrying Mrs. Gallo or Miss Gallo. Okay, I don't even know if there is a Miss Gallo or a Mrs. Gallo. I never met her. I don't know. All I know is the bottle of wine, right? So it's obviously not going to be, if you drink Gallo wine, you're going to end up marrying a shiksa, right, because of that action. Okay. It's also not probable that if Pierce is going to say, well, if I can drink Gallo's wine, I marry his daughter too. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. One thing follows the other. He drinks his wine, marry his daughter. Why not? That also doesn't make sense. So what is it? If you get used to knowing that if you pass in the supermarket Gallo wine, you know you can't eat it because it's Goyish, you get this feeling that Yidden and Goyim don't mix. Right? You get this mindset that Goyim are somebody that you have to hold at arm's length. There's something, there's a certain buffer. And that, through the centuries, whatever, creates a buffer between Jews and non-Jews. Because I know that if it's a Goyish wine, I'm not allowed to drink it. So that means it puts Goyim, they're nice people, and I can have business relationships with them, but there's a certain buffer. That's this kind of gzeira. Okay. So therefore, the same thing they did with Basar B'chalav. It wasn't that, don't eat, let's start with the thing. You can't eat at the same table two people, one person eating milchiks and one person eating fleishiks, with the following conditions. First of all, if it's somebody you don't know, you go to the park and you sit down and eat milchiks on a picnic, right? Your family is eating milchiks, and the guy next to you is having a barbecue, and you don't know the other person. So then you can eat at the same table without any problem, because you don't know the guy, you're not going to take his food, he's not going to take your food, you're strangers. It's 100% mutter. Okay. Now, so therefore the Isser only applies to people who know each other and conceivably could, you know, share food. So therefore, if you're sitting on a picnic table and a moshav outing, and your family brought milchiks, and the next family brought fleishiks, and you're sitting at the same picnic table, so then, since you know each other, we're afraid that you'll forget yourself, and you'll end up, the milchik guy will take the fleishik food, and the fleishik guy will take the milchik food, and you're going to end up eating milchiks and fleishiks at the same meal, which is rabbinically prohibited. Okay. So therefore, the Rabbanan made another gzeira, that you can't eat at the same table, unless you have the following. One possibility. You are sitting far enough away from the other family that you can't reach out and take the food. You have to get up and walk over. Then it's okay. So if you're not in close proximity, you don't need anything more than that. If you are in close proximity, okay, you could reach over and take from the other person's food, then you need the following. Either you need a hecker, right, something to remind you that your milchik and your fleishik, or vice versa. And what is that? Separate tablecloths. You're eating on one tablecloth, you're eating on a different tablecloth. Or one's eating on a tablecloth and one's eating on no tablecloth, on a bare table. Right? And even if there's one tablecloth, you can pick up the tablecloth, fold it over, and eat on the bare table. It's good enough too. Another thing, if you don't usually use placemats, one of you eats on a placemat, or you're eating on separate placemats. Okay, either one's eating on the table, one's on a placemat, or one's on the tablecloth without a placemat, and one's on the tablecloth with a placemat, or, and that's if you don't usually use placemats. But if you usually do use placemats, then there has to be a hecker in the placemat itself. One's blue and one's red. So you know, this is a milchik placemat, this is a fleishik placemat, that's good enough also. Or, you have something else on the table that you don't need for the meal, and it's big enough to notice. It's not a little nothing thing. It's a bigger thing that you can see. And it's something that you're not going to use for that meal. It's not a salt shaker. And it's not food that you need or a bottle of pickles that you're going to eat. But something you're not going to eat at that meal. And it's there just as a reminder that to separate between you and the other people who are eating milchik fleishik. Okay, if you're eating with a goy, you go to a park, and there's goy in there. Or yidden who are eating treif. So if the other food is treif, it's just milchik, but it's treif milchik, and you're eating fleishiks. Or you're eating milchiks, and they're eating treif fleishiks, you don't have to have a hecker, because you know it's treif. Okay? But if the goy, even a goy, or the non-frum yid, has milchiks, that's not treif. He's eating, bedatz yogurt. And you're eating barbecue. So then, it's possible even if it's a goy. It's talking about a goy that you know. Right? So it's your Filipino that's eating the badatz yogurt, and you're eating fleishiks. So then, you have to have the same kind of hecker. And therefore, he brings down over here, if you have a student eating in a dining room with a bunch of goyim or whatever, and they all know each other, right? It's not enough to what's it called, and the other food is could be kosher, not treif necessarily. It's milchiks that could be kosher. So you can't sit next to even a goy, or surely another Jew who's eating milchiks or fleishiks, as the opposite of what you're eating, unless you do one of these things. So he says, therefore, what you should do is, if you have your food from a paper bag, you know, eating a bag lunch, tear the bag, make it into a placemat, and put your sandwich down on the placemat and eat like that. So you've created the situation where you have now, you're not eating on the same table they're eating, because you have a placemat, which is the bag, and that's good enough. Or any of the other things that we mentioned. Okay, any questions on this?
What if you don't know?
You don't know what? If it's kosher or not? If you could possibly, let's put it this way. If you don't know, because of that, you wouldn't think of taking it because maybe it's treif. And some standard same things if it's straight. But if you don't know, and therefore you wouldn't be, you know, if he offered you something, you would take it because probably it's okay. Right? Then you shouldn't do it.
So
supposed to be mom's trip or something. I know I wouldn't.
Something you can't eat. It could be a bishulakum. It could be anything. It's something that you wouldn't. Yeah, you know the, you know what it is, and you know that you wouldn't eat it. Yeah.
Something you're allergic
to,
yes?
Huh?
Something that's kosher, but you're allergic to.
Interesting. Something is kosher, but you're allergic to what the other people are eating. Or, like some woman recently told me, if I was on a desert island and there was only a hot dog to eat, I wouldn't eat it. Right? She was going to imagine ever eating a hot dog. Something seriously wrong with the person, but good friend of mine. But she said, if I was on a desert island and there was nothing else to eat, I could never imagine myself eating a hot dog. So that people are eating hot dogs, and you're eating yogurt, okay? And you're mamish allergic. You're disgusted from the thing. There's no chance that you would eat it. Interesting, Shaila. If you're allergic to it, you really have something. But you just have an aversion. You just kind of can't imagine eating, you know, a broccoli kugel or something like that. I don't know. It's a good Shaila. I don't know. Have to think about it.